Praise the Lord, church. Such a powerful presence. God is so good. I love what I feel. If we could just stand, if you're some 12 years ago, a tiny little man, small in stature, but got the deepest, graveliest voice, big in spirit, made his way into the hearts and the minds of Calvary Gospel Church. It's because of his efforts that we were able to plant African international ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church, which Brother Claude, his family pastor. But due to his burden of planting churches, he left the States, went back to Liberia, and we partnered with him. And we have built a building in Liberia that is strong and growing. And we're excited about that. Brother Edwin Forkpaw Sr. passed away a few months ago. Kind of surprising, which kind of took all of us by surprise. But his spirit, his work is still moving forward. And it's an honor today to have his son, Edwin Forkpaw Jr. And he's going to come and he's going to share with us what's happening in Liberia. And he's going to preach to us. God bless you, Brother Edwin Forkpaw Jr. Preach to us. We love you. We appreciate you.
Bless you so much. Calvary, put your hands together for Jesus. You didn't get me. I said, Calvary, put your hands together for Jesus and make some noise in this house. I said, Calvary, put your hands together for Jesus and make some apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost noise in this house. The Bible declares, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you are still breathing, why don't you praise the Lord right now? He's worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have time. Please be seated as we take care of some business. And then we're going to be preaching shortly. Amen. We want to bless God for the opportunity to be back at Calvary Gospel Church, Madison. Amen. It is always a pleasure to be back here. We also want to salute Pastor Grant. We say thank you very much for the opportunity to allow us to come back here to speak to this wonderful church. And to our new pastor, Pastor Peters, we salute you today. We say thank you for your preferment, and we're going to keep you all in prayer that God is going to give you the wisdom necessary to lead this church in the right direction in Jesus' name. Well, I'm here to do a little presentation about the work my dad left in Liberia, West Africa, and whatever time I have left, I'm going to be preaching. Amen. Okay, so that's my dad. My dad has hair. I'm bald. That's a difference, right? But that's my dad. He's the founder of the church, and the Calvary Gospel Church, you guys were the ones that supported that project, so we bless God for you. Put your hands together for yourselves. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. So when he first went to Africa a couple of years ago, they started worshiping a very little place, not the best, but that's what they started doing as they tried to build the church in Liberia. Next slide. So you see, that's the adult service. Right now they are running pretty close to 300. Put their hands together for Jesus. That's a great work. Let's go to the next slide. That's the children's ministry. So every December, the kids come together to celebrate the birth of Christ. And after that, you have to give them some popcorn and some candies and some snacks, because if you don't do that, probably the next Christmas, they're not coming to church. You don't want that. Amen. Next slide. So pretty much the ministry in Liberia right now, we have about 300 registered members. We have had about 10 revival services already. Put your hands together for that. Over 100 people have been baptized in water. Over 80 have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the church building is 70% completed. And we still got 30% to go. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Next slide. So the building is not completed. Those are the things that we have left. Plastering, doing some work on the floor, the ceiling, electrical work, windows, and you just name it. A lot of work needs to be done. And but we bless God for his faithfulness. We know he who have started this good work is going to complete it in Jesus' name. Let's go to the next slide. So when I went to Liberia last year, my dad introduced me to the church and the leadership over there. He said he wanted me, it was his dream that I pastor that church. So that's the reason you see me up there. I'm the pastor of that church, though I'm in America, okay? Let's go to the next slide. So the resident pastor, the one who's there right now because I'm still living in the United States, his name is Pastor Augustine Michelle. He's a very wonderful man. He's on fire for God. He's the one shepherding them in my absence right now. Amen. Next slide. So that's the leadership for 2025 of Calvary Gospel Church. Put your hands together for the leadership. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. I went over there. They treated me well. And they are excited by the things of God. Amen. The last slide, I think that it is. So that's my dad's picture right there. And he's the man for the vision. You know, when he was in America, he didn't have to go back to Africa, but he decided to respond to the voice of God. And he went back to Liberia. And he was always excited. Whenever he did a little work on the church, he would take a lot of pictures and send it to me in America. So when he put the roof over there, he stood before it to tell the enemy, the same God who has brought it this far, he's going to take it to completion. Amen. He was a very great man of faith. Next slide. So pretty much, I'm not going to read everything over there. The people in Liberia, they really appreciate Calvary Gospel Church for all of the financial contributions you have made to the work in Liberia. They say thank you. They are praying for you all, but they also want me to extend another invitation to you guys to please partner with them again because the work is not completed. All of the people in that church, most of them don't work. Most of them, they go to bed every night and pray, God, give me this day my daily bread. Some of them go to bed hungry and they wake up the next day. They are struggling people. But with all of the struggle they go through, they are still willing to live for God. So they are making a passionate appeal. Anybody in this congregation, I pray that God will lay upon your heart after this service. Make a commitment. It's just a one-time commitment. Whatever you can do for the church in Liberia, we're going to appreciate it. And we're always going to keep you guys in our prayer in Jesus' name. I think that's this. Okay, so that's my wonderful family over there. Put your hands together for my wife and kids. Hallelujah. My wife couldn't be here today because she just started her classes, and my being here today is actually going to interfere with what she's doing. So my kids and my wife, they are not here today. But the next time you see me, you're going to see my family here today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us stand, please. We have limited time, but we're going to preach. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to John 4, 28 and 29. John 4, 28 and 29. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait for me. John is not in the Old Testament. It's not in the Old Testament, I promise you. If you have it, say amen. I'll read to your hearing. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man which have told me all things that I have ever done. Is this not the Christ? For the next few minutes, I'm going to be preaching to us all from a theme, a meeting that made the difference. Raise your hands. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We say thank you for great is your faithfulness, O God. We pray, Heavenly Father, today, Lord, you're going to take these few minutes, God, and speak to this church. In a very special way, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would do what no other power can do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Somebody put their hands together for Jesus and have your seat. Hallelujah. You can be seated in Jesus' name. A meeting that made the difference. Growing up in church, one of the songs that I used to like was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. You see, as a person, you can never see until you meet Jesus. I don't have time, so you better catch up with me right now. I said, you can never see unless you meet Jesus. So if you are living and breathing without Jesus, it means that you are not living at all. Hallelujah. I said, if you are living but you don't have Jesus, you are not living at all. You are dead. And what the enemy wants for us to do is he wants us to do anything but meet Jesus. He wants you to go to the therapist but meet Jesus. He wants you to go to your friends but he doesn't want you to meet Jesus. He wants you to come to church but he doesn't want you to meet Jesus. Because he knows that when you meet Jesus, everything changes. I said, because he knows when you meet Jesus, everything changes. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things. And behold, all things have become new. I didn't say some things. I said all things. When you have this meeting with Jesus Christ, all things become new. There are a few reasons for which that people have a meeting. One of the reasons is because they want to discuss ideas. People have meetings because they want to give instruction. People have meetings because they want a change. And meeting is very much important because without a meeting, you cannot have a relevant change in society. Meetings is so important, Pastor, to the extent that when God gets ready to do his work in the earth, he has a meeting also. I said when God gets ready to do a work in the earth, he also has a meeting. When the children of Israel cried to God and they said they wanted a deliverer, he did not give them a man. He gave them a baby named Moses. Moses was ordained to do a work, but he could not do that work until he had a meeting with God. And for some people under the tune of my voice, nothing is working for you and you think the enemy is busy. No, it's God wanted to have a meeting with you. Calvary, can you hear me? I said some people you have prayed, you have rebuked the devil, you have rebuked the demons, and nothing is happening. It's not the devil, it is God. Moses is at the backside of the desert, and the Bible says he sees a bush that is on fire, but not consumed. It was out of the burning bush that God had a meeting with Moses, and he was able to go and do what God wanted him to do. A meeting that made the difference. Look at your neighbor and say, a meeting. Look at your neighbor. If you look, you have to smile when you look at a neighbor now. You have to put a smile on your face now. Say, a meeting that made a difference. That's the wrong neighbor. Turn to the next person. Say, a meeting that made a difference. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is
It is my hope that when you leave from this church today, something will shift in your life. I said, it is my idea when you leave this place today, you're going to meet God face to face. When you leave this meeting today, you're going to go out and do what you thought you could not do because you did not come to see man. You came to see. I said, you did not come to see man. You came to see God. You know, when I come to church, it doesn't matter how big the church is. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. When I come to church, I come to see Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm going to preach to the pastor. When I come to church, I don't come to see anybody. I don't come to see the parking lot. I don't come to see this building. I come to see Jesus. You can have this whole word. Just give me Jesus. So John 4, he will see that Jesus is leaving from one place to the next. And the Bible declares that he must go through Samaria. Jesus. Everybody else is going around Samaria because they don't want to mess with the Samaritans. Why do you want to go to Samaria? Jesus is saying, now is the time that the church needs to erase some boundaries. Jesus is saying, now is the time for the church to be the church of the living God. Let us forget about color. Let us forget about creed. Let's forget about history. Let's forget about what has happened in the past. And let us serve God. I must need go through Samaria. So Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. So the Bible says that Jesus is walking with his disciples. Then he comes to this place. He said, you know what? You guys go in town and do some grocery shopping. And I'm going to wait. And Jesus is sitting by the well. He sent his disciples somewhere else. You see, when God gets ready to work, sometimes he's going to dismiss some people because he knows he's going to have some confidential conversation with you. He doesn't want everybody to know what you have been through. So he's going to dismiss some people just to have a meeting with you. And Jesus is sitting. Why was he sitting here? Jesus knew that there was a woman coming. Are you hearing me, Calvary? He had no business going through Samaria. He had no business sitting by this well. But you need to know you are important to God. You might not be important to man. You might not be important to society. You might not be important to your family. But you are important to God. And he will bridge protocol just to get to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I said whosoever, believes in him. I said whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means the black man and the white man, the rich man and the poor man, the man that can see, the ones that are crippled, whosoever. And the Bible says that Jesus is sitting by this well and he's waiting. And this lady comes and Jesus was the one who asked her anything. He said, hey, ma'am, give me water, please. And this lady said, Jesus, you are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't have anything in common. You don't mess with me. I don't mess with you. Why are you even talking to me? And Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask him for living water. I said, he said to her, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him for living water. And she said, but how will you get this water from the well? Jesus said, the water you came for, if you get it, you're going to get thirsty again. But the one that I got for you, if I give this to you, out of your belly. I said, out of your belly. I said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So she said, you know what? If that's the truth, then give me this water. He said, no, not that fast. You were playing, now I'm going to play to you. Jesus is stalling now. He said, you asked me for this water. I'm not going to give you the water first. He said, go and call your husband. Jesus, we're talking about water. Why are we talking about husband now? The thing about it is, the reason she did not get the water in the first place is because she was distracted. She thought she needed people when she needed God. The Bible says this woman, she said, I got no husband. Jesus said, you spoke well. You have gotten married. How many times already, Calvary? How many times? 5 times. And Jesus said, even the one that you got right now does not belong to you. So it means that she was on sex, number 6. But you see, after the 6th man is the 7th man. I said, after the 6th man is the 7th man. Here come Jesus. All of the men abuse her. All of the men turn their back on her. All of the men dog her. They made her to feel cheap about herself. But when she met Jesus, I said, when she met Jesus, that's all she needed. Calvary, as I close this message, this word needs Jesus. You didn't hear me. I said, Calvary, this word needs Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, this word needs Jesus. It is Jesus in the morning. It is Jesus in the evening. It is Jesus when I'm sick. It's Jesus when I have a job. It is Jesus when I'm homeless. It is Jesus. There is a song we sing in Liberia. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all. When your mother and your father forsake you, when society and people that you put in elected position forsake you and turn their back on you, Jesus is all you need. When you go to bed and you sleep all night and wake up and your tears are streaming down your face, Jesus is all you need. When you lose a loved one, when you lose your job, when you lose credibility, when you lose your association, Jesus is all you need. And the Bible says that Jesus, she said, but Jesus, how you are talking to me like this? You look like a prophet. And when I went to Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher taught me that there was a prophet coming. And Jesus said, I am he. Oh, wait a minute. I see why. You couldn't know all of this about me if you were not Jesus. Because you are everywhere present at the same time. And this lady who, she came, and first she was being nasty to Jesus, and now she's calling him a prophet. And at the end of the day, the musicians could come. We don't have time. At the end of the day, this lady now, she has come face to face with Jesus. You see, you never come to church until you come face to face with Jesus. Oh, you can have all the positions you want to, but in the kingdom of God, you are nothing until you come face to face with Jesus. Because when you have that kind of meeting with him, everything in your life shifts. I said, when you have that kind of meeting with him, I said, everything in your life shifts. I said, when you have that kind of meeting with him, everything in your life shifts. I said, when you have that kind of meeting with him, everything in your life shifts. I said, when you have that kind of meeting with him, everything in your life shifts. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Carry amazing grace. How sweet that sounds. That saves a wretch like me. She has been neglected in relationships. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus. Mambo Shada Bahaya. Somebody raise your hands right now. Ramoko Shada Bahaya. Jesus. When she knows that she has come face to face with Jesus, the Bible says she dropped her water pot. What am I going to do with a water pot when out of my belly now is flowing rivers? Yambo Shada Bahaya. You don't need a water pot. You need living water. I said you don't need a water pot. You need living water. You didn't hear me. You don't need a water pot. You need living water out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Mako Shada Bahaya. Lako Tobo Shada Baha. And this lady, now, you see, when you come to a real church, how I know you've been in church is what you are willing to drop. I said, how I know you have been in church is what you are willing to drop. She dropped the water pot and she's running. Come and see the man. 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 When you go to job tomorrow, tell them, come and see the man. When you go to your family, tell them, come and see the man. When you go to the hospital, tell them, come and see the man who has told me everything that I have done. Oh, sir. When you meet Jesus, everything changes. And that's the only meeting that will make all of the difference in your life. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter where you have gone to. It doesn't matter who you slept with. It doesn't matter what you smoke. It doesn't matter what you drink. The Bible says when you come to him, he will in no wise cast you. Somebody run to this altar right now. We got 5 minutes to pray. This meeting is going to make a difference in your life. Yako Shada Baha. Raise your hands, everybody, right now. Ramaka Shada Baha. Hallelujah, Jesus. Raise your hands. Raise your hands.